I have more good news for you today. I always have good news, but this is something that's so important for us to do, is to encourage one another daily. Hebrews says, well, it's still called today to be able to speak life into one another and to bring a good word of encouragement and to tell somebody how much God loves them and cares for them. And not only so, but just to reach out and to take care of one another. I have a mom that lives over in Vancouver, and this last week Molly was calling and calling, and we can almost always get a hold of my mom, either on her home phone or her cell phone, and she wasn't answering. And so after about an hour, Molly got concerned, and she was going to get ready to get in the car and go over there and see if she was okay. And I looked through the website and found the phone number of the young man that lives next door to her, who's a really good neighbor, and called him up and asked him to go over and check on her. And well, she'd just been to the store and forgot to take her cell phone, but everything was okay. And so it all ended well. But it just dawned on me how important it is for us just to check on one another. If you know somebody, especially that's shut in or that is by themselves without somebody to know, just give them a call. And even if they don't need anything, sometimes just a friendly voice on the other end of the phone, or, you know, if you're able to safely visit, that's another issue as well. But we really do need each other, and we need each other's encouragement. Amen? And so the series that we've been in now for a few weeks is called Whole Again, and it's walking through the portions of the Bible that were written, especially by the Apostle Paul. Many of the letters in the New Testament qualify as Pauline epistles. And the Apostle Paul was one that was not only great at summarizing the Hebrew Bible, that some call the Old Testament, two-thirds of our Bible, but he was a scholar in all those things and could tie parts of Scripture together like nobody else could. But he also was very well aware of ideas of his day that helped a whole new generation make sense of it all. And so he writes in his letter to the Corinthians, I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you want to look there in your Bible. Otherwise, I'll put it on the board. He talks about a new way of looking at our relationship with the Lord. And just on the theme of that song that we sang, I am what? I am who you say I am, Lord. That one of the things the Bible says that we are is that we are a new creation. How many are new creations in this place? In verse 14, he says this. Would you read it with me? He says, for Christ's love compels us. I'm sorry to interrupt so early, but I absolutely love that phrase. That's been one that it just sticks in my mind. When I think about even when I do things that I don't want to do for the sake of somebody else, when I go to Walmart or go to the grocery store or something and I put on a mask, not just to keep somebody safe, but I also know that there are a lot of people that are still very afraid. And so I'm not only considered about their health, but I'm considered about how they feel. And when I think, why am I doing this, Lord? And I remember, that's right, because your love is in my heart and your love compels me to do a lot of stuff. How many have ever been compelled by the love of Jesus in their life? Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. Get that. But for him who died for them and was raised again. He says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. There was a phrase last week when the Apostle Paul contrasts living in the flesh or living in the spirit. Either we're going to live by our own mere natural instincts and things that come natural to us, or we're going to live by our connection with God. And so in one, I'm going to live by just human standards. On the other, I'm going to live by godly standards. Am I going to live according to the flesh or according to the spirit? He repeats that phrase again in this passage, even though it's a different topic. He says, so from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. We don't look at people and judge them by just our own human standards either. But we look at them and we see them the way God sees them. He said, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. My old NIV, yes, there's an old NIV, the 1984 version, it says it a different way. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. And it's another way to say the same phrase, but I'm going to come back to it. In verse 18, it says, and all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Say, reconciled us. You know what reconcile means? To reconcile means, in regards to relationship, is where two people have been separated and now they're brought back together. It means to restore somebody to favor. And so if someone is out of relationship with God, to reconcile them means that we find them, we reintroduce them to God, and we see those two come together. So in the end, it's really not about us. We don't save anybody. We can't rescue somebody. But introducing somebody to God so that God can do that work. And so reconciliation can happen between friends. It can happen in a family. Reconciliation can happen between us and God. And so here is this great word the Apostle Paul introduces us to, the importance of our relationship with God being a point of reconciliation. And so all this is for God, who reconciled us to himself. That's step one. Through Christ, and then he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So listen, first it begins with something that he does to us, and then it's something that he does through us. In verse 19, he says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Oh man, it sounds like a theme developing, right? First, he reconciles us to God, and then he gives us the ministry of reconciliation, which takes place in our community, and then through us, as a church that has been reconciled, now he reconciles the world to himself. And so that reconciliation, it begins with something that's individual, but it expands so far beyond that. And in verse 20, it says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. How many knew you were an ambassador? I should have made us all business cards this morning. Don't you think so? Ambassador. What am I an ambassador for? Well, an ambassador goes to a foreign country on the behalf of his home kingdom. And so all of us, if we're a part of God's kingdom, if we've decided to let Jesus Christ rule and reign in our hearts, now we are ambassadors. When we show up at the drive-through harvest party, we're going to be ambassadors that night. We're representatives of what it looks like for a bunch of Christians to wear goofy costumes and hand out candy. We're going to shine the light and say, this is what Christians do. We love people and we're nice to people. Let me ask you, is that always what we show people Christians look like? Well, maybe not always. But we get it right a lot of the time. And if we allow the Lord to move through us, he can shine his light bright through us. And so he uses this phrase that is really a brilliant one from so many different angles. He says, if anyone is in Christ, and here's why it can be translated several different ways. It's just very basic in Greek. Here's literally what Paul says. If anyone is in Christ, kaine katesis. He just says, if anyone is in Christ, new creation. And so we have to fill in all the rest of the words in that sentence. And so you can do it several different ways. And so people have been studying this verse for years, and there are different ways you can translate it. One of them is my favorite traditional way, I think, because I'm always focused on people and seeing people set free. One way to say it is, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. Is that true? I'm so grateful for the fact that he's recreated me and made me a new person. Another way to say it is, if an individual becomes, if anyone is in Christ, that individual becomes part of the new creation. And so the new creation, in one sense, can be that individual that's been changed. In another sense, it's the community that's formed when a bunch of people come to know Christ. that we together are a new creation. The third one is when an individual comes to know Christ and becomes part of that community, then that community helps to usher in the new creation. In other words, bring God's purposes and plans and his kingdom into the world. So which one is it? Well, I got good news for you today. I don't think we have to decide. I think it's all three. As a matter of fact, I think all three kind of illuminate one another and complement one another. Not only that, but when I am ever trying to find out what Paul meant in a certain phrase, there are two main strategies for that. One is always to go back to the Hebrew Bible and say, where is the predecessor? Because that was Paul's Bible. That was the scripture he was reading when he wrote this to the Corinthians. And so where in the Old Testament or the Hebrew scripture does it talk about God recreating things or a new creation? The second thing I do is go to other places where Paul talked about similar ideas and see what else did he say about it. Well, guess what? In both the Hebrew Bible and in Paul's writings, all three of those ideas are there. That the new creation has to do with people, individuals. It has to do with community and the whole of the body. And it also has to do with changing the world. It just so happens, the tagline of our church, if you've been to the website, is Columbia River Foursquare Church. Man, I just blew it. Restoring people, restoring community, and changing the world. And so this is the ideas that the Apostle Paul is talking about. And the first one begins with reconciling people. I'm going to use the word reconcile instead of restore because that's the word that Paul used. But he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, new creation. There's something new. And so we were once created by the hand of God, and now God has recreated us. And I love this idea, friends, because there are so many parts of my life that I can fix. So many things that I can do to self-improve myself. This has been a real kick over the last few months. A lot of people have been doing self-improvement. Have you noticed? You can do a lot of things for yourself. You can change your diet. You can start walking more. You can stop watching so much TV. You can read a book. There's all sorts of things you can do to improve yourself a little bit. But there's only one that can recreate you and me. And that's the miraculous hand of God. So many things bring about change, but only God can recreate it. You remember what Genesis 1 says? And so God at the very beginning, and so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And so just as God created mankind, we are all a creation of God. Now, it says if anyone is in Christ, they are a complete brand new creation. He's created us all over again. It isn't just fixing us up a little bit, but it's something completely new. The Apostle Paul also calls it putting off the old self and putting on the new self. And so here are these great ideas, right? One of them is Paul contrasts the outer self with the inner self. He contrasts living in the flesh or living in the spirit. And now he says that you've got a choice. You can either live like the old self or live like the new self. You can either live your life like the old creation or the new creation. And God has given us an opportunity to start all over again. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I've been fixing a lot of things. I'm a fixer. Ask my family. I have six people in my family that know how to break things and only one that knows how to fix them. That's not entirely true, but mostly true. And so there are things every week that get broken and I fix it. Sometimes I even fix the tools that I fix other stuff with. And I can fix electronics. My wife's always shocked when she comes home and I've torn her laptop apart and it's in pieces on the kitchen table. I said, don't worry, I can put it back together. And usually that's true. So I usually put things back together. I can fix cell phones, even fix Game Boys. I've rebuilt laptops. In fact, because all our kids are homeschooled, and I just last week rebuilt and reconfigured three used laptops so that they can all have access to the internet and all of that. The only thing I'm not great with is TVs. And so we've had about three TVs go out on us over many, many years, and I've torn into every single one of those things. I've researched it on YouTube. You know, that's how you can learn how to do anything, right? look it up on YouTube, figure out the exact parts I need to. I know whether it's the speakers or the power board or the TCON board. Now you know I know what I'm talking about when I say TCON board. And or whether it's the LED strips, which is what happened to this last one. And I can fix stuff. I can put it all back together. But can I tell you, every one of the TVs, all three of them, were still broken after I fixed them. I turned them back on. I did everything perfect, but they still don't work. So, you know, I just have determined, if at all possible, I fix it. If at all possible, I do what I can. And I figure my motto is, this is not alien technology. If a human built it, a human ought to be able to fix it. And I do it, unless I can't. And I found that there are just certain things in my life that no matter how hard I try, I can't fix them. I need to be recreated. I need to be born again. That's the Bible word. I need to go back to the Lord, say, Lord, this one's shot. I've been trying to fix it for years, and it just doesn't work right. I need you to do a new work in my life. Sometimes you just got to go back to Costco. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm not saying that's the answer to all life's problems, but it fixes some things. Sometimes you just gotta do it. Some things can't be fixed. They have to start all over again. Oh, I have another truth. This is a true story, but you knew that, right? Because all my stories are true. You can ask my kids. But Vicente's been driving my old Cadillac now, and it had been sitting so long, the battery went dead. You know, you have to run those things every once in a while. And I thought to myself, you know, that battery's not too old. I took it back to O'Reilly's. I put it up on the counter. I said, you know, I can't remember how long ago I bought this battery. And they said, oh, that's all right. We'll look it up. Click, 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 click. And they look it up and it says, it looks like you bought it in November, 2 years ago. And it's got a 2-year warranty. I'll be right back with a brand new one. Oh, man. That makes your whole day better right there, don't you think? Brand new battery for the old Cadillac. I just was so thrilled. I told the guy, I'm going to go buy a lottery ticket on my way home. I feel so good. I didn't. I don't buy lottery tickets. But I felt like that. Just my lucky day. I mean, I didn't even do anything to deserve it. All I did was come back to the right place with the right answer. And I said, what can I do about this? And we came back to Jesus and we said, Lord, I can't do anything about this. There's sin in my life I can't go back and undo. There's things that I regret. There's things that I've done. I can't go back and pay for it all. I don't have enough blood in my veins to pay the sacrifice for what I've done. And I came back to the Lord and he said, all right, it's because of Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed on the cross that you can be made new again. You can start all over again because of him. And friends, it is never too late. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. It's never too early and it's never too late to go back to the beginning and be born again. Oh, man, not again. These things happen. You know what? This is a perfect illustration of something that needs to be thrown away, and I need a whole brand new one. Brother, it's not working, so would you mind just hitting the down button? It's never too late. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 6. And I have to preface it by saying this. You remember I said almost everything Apostle Paul says can be explained by Galatians chapter 2? What had happened is their church was partly made up of Jewish Christians and partly made up of Gentile Christians, which is everybody that wasn't Jewish. And at first it worked out okay, and then after a while they just said, no, we can't fellowship together. And they stopped eating together. They stopped fellowshipping. And the Apostle Paul says, how did you ever get convinced that this was about something that was in your physical body? Namely, for them, being a Jewish man or a not Jewish man meant that you were circumcised. That's not a big deal in our culture. It was a huge deal in the New Testament. And so what he says to them is this, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. I'm reading from Galatians 5:16. He says, peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. Excuse me, I'm way down ahead. It got thrown off by my... Okay, maybe we should tape the second service because this one all got messed up. Colossians 3, I'm going to come back to that other verse in a minute. Colossians 3 says this. Would you read it with me now? It says, it is now you who must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger and rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Anybody say amen? Say amen. He says, don't lie to each other. Since you've taken off your what? Your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. And so we're going back to being the people that God created us to be. Only this time, getting rid of all that stuff that was a part of my old self. The bad attitudes, the anger, the bad talking, all of my bad habits. And say, I'm going to just live as that new person that God created me to be. You know, there's a reason I still have altar calls, even though a lot of my pastor friends have long since done away with. It's kind of an old-fashioned thing to do in some churches. Everybody bow your heads and close your eyes, and if anyone wants to accept Jesus in their heart. And I know, just saying a prayer on a Sunday morning is not the sum total of being a Christian. I know there's more to it than that, but listen, I so believe that people still need an opportunity to just get right with God. And I just couldn't imagine being someone that came to church. And the whole reason I came is because, you know, there was just something broken in my relationship with God, and I needed to be reconciled to Him. And nobody ever gave me an opportunity to do that. And so I still do it. I was a kid growing up in church, and when I was growing up, we used to have Sunday night church. And we used to come, and every once in a while, it was usually a smaller crowd, and we'd have Bible study, and the pastor would teach, and maybe sometimes we had testimonies. And one of these nights, one of the brothers, when it was prayer time, raised his hand, and he said, Pastor, can we pray for my brother Al? And they said, well, what's going on with your brother? He says, he's out in the parking lot right now, and he's a little bit drunk, and he knows about the Lord, but he's been running for years. Years and years and years, he's just been running. And I've been working on him to come to church with me, and I told him, it's never too late. You can get your life right. And he's out in the parking lot right now just praying and fighting. I mean, he is just having a wrestling match with the Holy Spirit on how badly he does not want to come in to this church, but part of him does. And so can we just pray? So we all stopped, and we just prayed for him right there. And then it was over, and the preacher preached the sermon. He got about three-quarters of the way through, and the back door of the church opened. I'll never forget this as long as I live. And here comes Al. He was a big guy, big like me, almost as tall as I am now. But, you know, he came down to church, and by the time he got down to the altar, he just fell on his knees at the altar, tears streaming down his face. And he prayed. All of us got up around him and put hands on him and just loved on him, and we prayed with him, and he gave his heart to Jesus, and he stood up, and he reached down in his pocket, and he grabbed a pack of cigarettes and crumpled them up and threw them on the stage, and he says, well, I guess I don't need these anymore. And by the way, I'm not judging people that smoke. I'm just saying, for Al, all of that was a part of the old man. It was a part of who he used to be. His drinking, his smoking, his running around, all of that. He was just tired of it. And he needed to start over again. He needed a fresh start. As far as I know, till the day he died, he never went back. He never struggled with those things. He was one of those kind of cold turkey kind of guys. He was an usher at the door. And so every Sunday morning when I came to church, he would stand up really tall to see if I was taller than him yet. And most of the Sundays when I got there, he just would hand me one of the usher bags, and he says, I'll take right, you take left. And he was my buddy. I just remember that day. I just said, Lord, if you can change a guy like that, if you can set him free, then why would we not give people that opportunity? If anyone, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've been through, if you give your heart to Christ, you can be a brand new creation. You can start over. Not just a fixed up version of yourself or with a little bit of religion tacked on to the end of it, but a whole brand new person with a brand new heart to start over again. And it's never too late. It's never too late. And so once he brings us and makes us a new creation. The second way you could take that phrase is the new creation also has to do with what he's doing in our midst. And so he says, and all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us, notice it's plural, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So that's one of the things that we do on Sunday morning. We are practicing the ministry of reconciliation. And so the new creation is when the reconciliation of people, brother, let's go on, can we? Can we go to the next point? Okay. The new creation is when people who were separated and who were separated in relationship now become reconciled back to each other. And so he says, from now on, we don't know each other according to the flesh, but we see each other by the Spirit. We see them differently. And so all the way back in the prophet Isaiah, which is one of the places I think that the Apostle Paul was referring to in this passage, is he tells us this in Isaiah 65. He says, see, go ahead and put it up. When I say the verse, why could you help me? He says, see, I will create a new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. So listen to what he says. I'm going to make a new heavens and a new earth, a new creation. And then he says, and I am going to create Jerusalem, the community of faith, the people of God. I'm going to bring about something completely new. I'm going to recreate what was broken in you and put it back together. Friends, there's something I'm so looking forward to when this coronavirus is finally lifted and we can all be back together, is that there's a restoration of relationship. I miss even being able to reach out and somebody that's brand new and lay hands on them, or to give somebody a big hug and just to welcome them. Because I think there are so many broken relationships and broken hearts in the world. And sometimes what we need is just to reunite ourselves with the love of the Lord. Anybody say amen? Say amen. There's something powerful about it. Our world is crying out right now for reconciliation. In so many different ways, we are torn apart. If you watch on the evening news or you turn on a ball game and are turned off by people that are standing or that are kneeling or that are speaking up for issues that they see in the world. I know part of me struggles sometimes because I think I don't want to always feel guilty about something that I didn't do. But whenever I see one of my African-American friends or somebody that's on TV crying out or wearing a T-shirt, I'm always reminded, you know, not everybody that wears a T-shirt that says Black Lives Matter, it belongs to that organization called Black Lives Matter. You know, those are two different things. There's a website and an organization, and they have their own agenda. Sometimes people are just saying, it's time for us to care about things that we haven't always cared about. And it's true, all lives matter. But where that comes from is a deep-seated pain. You realize that, right? You know, just last week, this is in ancient history, but they dug up a grave in an old historical grave in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And what they found in it was several people that were just lined up and buried in a mass grave. And where they were able to date it back to was a massacre that took place in 1921. Not 1821, 1921. There was a riot that broke out. There was a black man that was accused of assaulting a white woman in an elevator. And then a bunch of white people came into town. A bunch of black people came into town. People started shooting. And hundreds of people were dead before it was over. Friends, 1921. There are still people alive on the planet today that were alive when that happened. And so I always just remember, listen, I don't feel like I'm prejudiced. Why should all of this stuff be happening? And why are people still speaking out? And my answer to that is because there's still pain. You know, the pain of things like that doesn't always go away even in just one generation. It can be passed down through generations and it affects cultures. And every time I see something like that, can I just offer a suggestion? Instead of getting put out or being irritated about it, just pray for them. So you know what? The reason that they're asking for these things to be brought up is because they're still hurting. And if they're hurting, then I want to pray for them and I want to care about them. Why? Because God isn't just about recreating me. He also wants to recreate the community. Build us back together. To restore us. I know it's hard right now with all the COVID going on and all of the, even the election going on. So grateful my family, most of us have already voted. Anybody else can't wait for the election to be over? I can just tell you this, whoever it is that you vote for, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to vote and I'm going to pray for whoever gets elected. Because I just know whether or not it's the person I voted for or the other person, I'm going to pray for him. Because it's important, and the Bible calls us to do that. And I know this, that there are really good Christian people in this church, and I'm looking at you right now, some who vote one way and some who vote the other. That's okay. We're all believers in this place, amen? There's also people that root for the Seahawks, and there's people that root for some other dumb team. That's okay. They're still saved. They're still going to be in heaven, all right? Barely, but they're still going to be there. And so we have to accept people even with our differences. And it doesn't mean we can't have strong opinions. There's nothing wrong with a believer going out and being a part of your local campaign or putting a sign in your yard. But at the end of the day, we recognize that it's not about those things. It's just about us being a family, us being together. Anybody say amen? In Christ, he says, we don't look at people the way the world does it, but in Christ, the world's standards are replaced by God's standards. And so Galatians chapter 6, verse 15 says this. And so neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. This is the verse I was talking about before. Did you recognize it? It says, neither of those means anything. What counts is what? The new creation. And peace and mercy to all who follow this rule. To the Israel of God. Oh, listen. He says, you know what the true Israel is? Not just the nation on a planet, but it's all of God's people brought together. And in their day, they were saying, listen, yeah, but there's some of us Christians that are Jewish and some of us that are Gentile. He says, no, there's no such thing. We used to say it back at the beginning of the Pentecostal revival that the blood of Christ has washed away the color line. There's no ethnicities in this place. There's not male and female. There are men and women. But he's saying, but we are all one in Christ. We're not separated by those things. The world wants to separate us out. But when Jesus looks at us, he sees us as one. They even tried to do it at the presidential debate the other night. I was laughing myself because one candidate said, you know, the problem is it's with the blue states because it's in the blue states that all the businesses are shut down and the economy is failing. The other candidate says, I don't believe in blue states and red states. I think we're supposed to be the United States. And then he went on to say, and by the way, it's the red states that have the worst COVID crisis. And so he just couldn't help it, right? That's just the way it is. You're going to see maps over the next couple of weeks. These blue states and these red states, and we're all against each other. But in Christ, we have just been called to be children of God. I love that phrase. In Christ, that Jesus is Lord of all. And when he is, it reconciles us as a community. We are together that new creation. Anybody say amen? The last thing is this. He says, and that God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against him. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. And so not only does God reconcile us as individuals, but also he reconciles the community. That's the new creation. But that idea of new creation even extends beyond the church. And this is one area that I think some churches stop short of, is they understand the first two things that I just said, but this one in some areas is missing from the gospel, is that once God is finished bringing us into a community that is a new creation, he wants to make a difference outside the four walls of this church. That we are also to bring his new creation into the world. It doesn't just stop with us. That's why Paul says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. You know, an ambassador doesn't stay home. They go out. We are God's ambassadors because he is reconciling the world to himself. And so it is the mission of the church to reconcile the world to God. That's our mission. to reconcile everything back to him. And so the Apostle Paul goes back to Isaiah 66 once again. Listen to what Isaiah says. He says, "And the new heavens and the new earth that I make will endure before me, declares the Lord. And so your name and descendants endure from new moon to another and from the Sabbath to another. All mankind will come and bow down before me, says the Lord." Listen to what Isaiah says. This isn't just new with the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. But first he says, "I'm going to make you into a new Jerusalem. You're going to be a new community of people." And then he says, "And then all mankind will be reconciled to me." It's not just this that God has created us for, but this is just like the locker room. I'm like the coach giving us a pep talk before we go out into the field. But the ministry, the mission begins when we leave this place. I was in a class several years back, and I felt pretty bold. I was actually in this class with several leaders of Foursquare, and the title of this class was a seminary-level class called Leading a Missional Church in Cascadia, which is the Northwest. I said, this will be interesting. And I sat and listened to 2 days of lectures, and finally I had to raise my hand. I couldn't believe it. Some of these people had PhDs, but every time they got to the mission of the church, they'd say, "Well, the mission of the church first is to evangelize, and then it's to disciple, and then it's to raise up leaders." And then they turn around and they evangelize again. I said, "Wait a second." I said, "Those are great first three steps, but where's step four?" They said, "What do you mean, Mike?" I said, "Step four, the missional part. The class is called Being a Missional Church, and you haven't said anything missional yet." I said, it's take the Seahawks, for example, because they're on my mind, obviously. And so what if they said, "Listen, we're going to have the greatest recruiting offseason we've ever had." That is what I call evangelism. That's recruitment stage. We're going to go out and get the best players. And then when they get here, we're going to go to summer training camp and we're going to train. That's discipleship. And then when we do that, we're going to turn them into leaders, right? And that's game preparation. And then what are we going to do? Then we're going to go out and recruit new players. I said, "Wait a second. Did you forget something?" What? When do we ever play a game? When do we ever do anything with it? And I thought, what is it like if a church just evangelizes and then disciples and then raises up leaders but never goes outside and does anything? Anybody with me so far? I got to this point and I said, it just seems to me that if we never get to stage four, then all the church is just a self-licking lollipop. Think about that phrase for a minute. What is a lollipop for? To lick itself? I said, no. And so what if the church is just there to serve the church? Then what good is it? If we never go out and we do anything, if we never reach out with the love of Jesus, if we never reach out and give somebody a love basket, if we never reach out and do things that help people with mental health or help people with the parenting skills. How many are with me so far? If we don't use what God has gathered together, then what good is it? And so friends, at the end of the day, the reason Christ reconciled us as individuals is so that we could reconcile the world to God. Would you read this last verse from me in Romans chapter 8? It's a big one and it's a little bit long, but I'm going to end with this. Would you read it with me? He says, "For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed." Now, just can I stop? This is a very deep passage. One of the deepest in all of Paul's writings in Romans 8. And he starts to tap in and use words, I think, that probably for a lot of people, we can read it and it goes over our head. But what is creation? That for Paul now, first he said it was the individual. Then he says it's the community that's being rebuilt. Now Paul uses the creation to mean all of God's creation. The world. All of the people that he came to redeem. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Who are the children of God? That's us. It's the believers. And so he says that world is waiting for us to show up and to be a part of the solution. He says, "For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. Isn't that profound? It says all of creation is waiting for us to do what? To just be what God's created us to be. As individuals and as a church, to just step up and be the church. Some people have a problem with government intrusion. I wish the government didn't do this and didn't do this. And I wonder sometimes if the government would have ever done any of those things, if the church had just been doing what it was called to do. There's so many opportunities that we have to make a difference. People that God puts in our way. Just one-on-one that we can reach out and that we can be a part of that. Friends, just unlocking the door and setting a prisoner free. Now that Jesus has reconciled us, that we would understand that one of the things he's called us to is the ministry of reconciliation. Anybody with me? I want to leave us with that. And I want to show you a video clip that I saw just in the last year or two about two of my sports heroes. Now, I have to preface this as saying, you don't need to know a thing about sports to get this video. But the two guys in it are very famous basketball players from the 80s. One is Magic Johnson, who was the all-star center for the Los Angeles Lakers, maybe one of the best point guards to ever live. And the other one was Isaiah Thomas, who was also in his generation one of the greatest. And these two are not only, he was for the Detroit Pistons. And so not only were they great competitors, they even played in a championship. I think it was 88, and the Lakers beat them. But they not only played in championships together, but they're also very close friends off the court. They were about the same age, and they'd grown up, and even though they would compete on the floor, they were very close friends until 1992. Now, what happened in 92? Well, up until that point, they'd been friends. But in 92, the Olympics, we competed as the Dream Team. I've talked about them before. The greatest team ever assembled. It was like all of the greatest players that was from that generation and the next generation, all on one team. They had Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan. I mean, that's all they needed. But they had everybody else, too. This enormous team of all the best and the brightest from that generation, except for one guy, Isaiah Thomas. Because even though he was definitely one of the elite players in the league, he had had a falling out with some of the other players. And even his buddy, Magic Johnson, didn't speak up for him. And for years and years, they didn't talk. So these two guys that were world-famous athletes and had been so close and had been through so much together, and now for years, they didn't talk to each other. They both had prominent careers. Magic Johnson has been prominent in leadership. They've both been on TV. I've seen Isaiah Thomas over the years as a commentator. And every time I saw him, I'd say the same thing. He used to always have this big smile on his face when he played. And whenever you'd see him on TV, it just seemed there was like a sadness about him. Until just a couple of years ago, when somehow somebody talked these two into sitting down for an interview. And just watch what happened.
And this is what I didn't understand and now understand now. Our relationship, mm-hmm. it's important to our community. Mm-hmm. And I can remember us like, you know, sitting in the hallways and, mm-hmm. and everybody saying, you know, they're going to try to pull y'all apart. You know, they're going to try to separate. Mm-hmm. We're like, nah, we ain't going to never get separated. Right. Mm-hmm. I keep hearing those conversations and I keep replaying it back. And then now I look at what's happening in the world with what was happening then and what's still happening now in terms of social injustice,
right.
You know, in our community. We got MLK Day right. coming up. Like, right. you know, you and I as black men, mm-hmm. as brothers, mm-hmm. as friends, like this relationship is important to our community and to our families historically, because I'm sure your brother, my brother, my sister, your niece.
On and on and on. You keep going.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's like, you know, y'all all right?
Exactly.
Like, yeah, we all right, you know? I mean, but it's important to everybody.
No, it really is. And also, too, you have to remember, you and I were the leaders back then.
But I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, we both didn't know it, but now we know it. But I would say to you, this has been a tremendous day, right? my wife, my mother, my father, and saying, y'all need to get back together.
Yeah.
So when everybody called, I said, no question, we're going to do this. And just to sit across from you and have those, relive those moments of fun, excellence, working hard, dreaming big, because we were dreaming moments before we were even, who sit up at 19, 20, 21, dreaming of stuff we wanted to do, and now here we are doing it, you know. But you are my brother. Let me apologize to you if I hurt you, that we haven't been together, and God is good to bring us back together. All right? I know, man. It hurt me, too. Come here, man. To go through, but we through it, brother. Okay?
I'll always be here.
Oh, come on, man.
I already know.
I know. I know.
I'm still mad that you beat me.
You gonna be mad. We both gonna be mad.
That was just amazing to me when I watched that. I just thought, wow, there are two of the greatest competitors, two of the toughest grown men that I know, and to think for that many years to just be carrying this pit in your stomach that something wasn't right. And the ability, just with a conversation, I don't know if you noticed, they didn't go back and talk about everything they'd said and done over the years. All the little offenses, all the little coulda, shoulda, what. They didn't go back and do anything. They just reconciled with each other. They restored a relationship. Friends, I am so convinced that one of the most important parts of being made whole again in Christ Jesus is not only just to be made whole again in myself, but also that my relationships will be made whole again. That God will bring about restoration in my marriage, restoration between parents and kids, restoration between friends. You know, not always can every situation just be solved with the conversation. But I'm still convinced that wherever the Holy Spirit's at work in my life, there's the ministry of reconciliation. He is always calling me back to relationship, to restore me back to Himself, and then always to open up doors to find other people that are separated from God and restore them back to God too. Even just to invite them to church or invite them to a Bible study and just reach out, just to put them in friendship with God again so that God can do the work in them. We don't have to fix all of their problems first. Just to see them reconcile, because God really is in the business of changing lives. And He still sets people free. Anybody say amen? Praise God. Would you pray with me today? Lord Jesus, in this place, I just pray, wherever, Lord God, there's broken relationship. Lord, if there's things that have been said or there have been things that have been done that have just created wounds, that have separated relationships, Lord God, I pray that you would help find that path of healing and reconciliation. Lord, that you would bring about peace in our hearts, that you would teach us, Lord Jesus, how to mend fences. Lord, how to even take responsibility and apologize if that's what it takes. But Lord, just as you've called us to live at peace with you, you've also called us to live at peace with each other. I lift up our country right now, Lord God, of all the wounds that have been created over the years from whoever's fault it was, I pray for healing in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord God, that as we recover from the COVID shut down, Lord, that our country would also recover and be healed, that you'd restore relationships, Lord God, that you'd restore churches that have been broken up and that have been separated, that have been not able to meet. I just cry out with my whole heart, Lord God, for healing and wholeness to take place again. And friend, while nobody's looking around, just for a moment of privacy, if you know the first step for you is to be reconciled to God, maybe you've had a relationship with him, and maybe that relationship has been strained, or maybe you've just grown apart from him, but it's never too late to come back to him and be created again, to see that renewal take place in your life. If you're here today and you know that you just need to reconnect, you need to be reconciled with him, or even if you're home and you're listening to this, you just cry out to him right now. But if you're here and that's you, would you just look up at me for a moment? Is there anybody like that today? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Praise your mighty name. Well, friends, will you just pray with me today? Say this with me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart today. Restore me to God. Forgive me of all of my sins. Wash me clean and write my name in the book of life. I give you all the glory today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering, would you? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, friends, I love all of you so much. It's so good to see those of you that came, and I can't wait to see you if you're at home. Lord bless you. Have a wonderful day. And go Hawks.